Well, we welcome our brother again in the Lord's great name, and we pray that he'll know God's help and blessing afresh tonight in the ministry of God's precious truth. God bless you.
Well, tonight, once again, we will come to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 17. As you look up the passage, let me say how good it is to see you. Great encouragement to have you with us tonight in our service. And since the subject is the wife, I made sure that my wife would be with me tonight and that she would be here and hear God's word. But seriously, we are delighted that all who've joined with us. And this is the third meeting in the series so far. So we are halfway as far as the meetings are concerned. Three more remain after this one. And so that's how the time flies ever so quickly when we come to meetings such as these. So do continue to be in prayer. Keep coming. Encourage others to come. And if you can get here earlier, we know it's not always easy getting in from work or getting the family sorted out and so forth. But if you possibly can, come early and let us together seek the Lord with all our hearts. So we're going to read at verse 17 in Ephesians chapter 5. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and give himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Ending here at the close of the chapter at verse 33, we know that the Lord will bless again to our hearts his own precious word. We'll just take a moment to look to the Lord. Let us each one seek the Lord, pray along with us, that the Lord will draw near and make it a most profitable night as we come to his word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we remember thy word when it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we are conscious of our weakness and frailty in the flesh. We're conscious, Lord, of the fleshliness of our natures. We abide in the flesh, in the body. And we know that so often we are apt to stray and to wander and to depart from thy word and go along a way which we consider to be right to ourselves. But how we thank thee for the inerrant, the infallible word. We know that David considered thy word to be the men of his counsel. And we pray that thou wilt help us to come tonight to the word of the Lord, that we might receive its counsel, its instruction, its admonitions, its exhortations. And grant our Father that grace will be given to us all to take to heart the word of God. Lord, thou didst bring us last night in the role of the husband to the cross, to thy great love, being a pattern of the husband's love to his spouse. And we pray that again this night thou wilt bring us to thee, to thyself. Thou art the Father's perfect servant. And we pray that our lives and ways will be molded on thy blessed life and ways. So help us, pour out thy Spirit, we pray, and grant to us the fullness of power that the word of the Lord will have free course. It will run and be glorified. Be with us here, we ask, in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. We are focusing our thoughts on what the Bible has to say about the oldest of all institutions, the family. Today, the family is attacked from every side: religious, political, cultural. The family is being eroded in society. Hence the turmoil, the lawlessness, the wickedness, the mayhem that we have on every hand. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Lord emphasizes the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have noted that in verse 18. The exhortation is, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, wherein is lawlessness. And you have only to go along the streets of our towns at nighttime, and especially at the weekend, and you will see illustrations, sadly, of this truth. Those under the influence of wine and the lawlessness of their ways. But there is a contrast in this verse 18. We are not to be drunk with wine. We're not to be under its influence. What is the purpose of God and his will for his people? We are to be filled with the Spirit. We have been born again of the Spirit of God, born from above. And we know from the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit dwells in these renewed hearts of ours. We are an habitation of the Spirit, the dwelling place of the Spirit. But every day, the believer should humbly and definitely seek the new infilling of the Spirit of God. And when our lives are under the influence of the Spirit of God, then the fruits of the Spirit will be in evidence in our daily experience. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, the verse speaks of walking in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when we are living lives, when we are walking in the Spirit, that will impact on the family. We will live then in keeping with the Word of God. And the instruction for the family, it begins here in Ephesians chapter 5. It begins with the role of the wife. Notice that in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I believe there is significance that the role of the wife is mentioned here first. The wife being in the first place stresses, emphasizes her importance in the family. The wife's role is to the fore. It is prominent in the mind of God. Husbands may play down the role of the wife, but God places a dignity, an honor on it. And that man is a fool who does not recognize the primary place that his wife has in the home, in the family. The wife, the mother, is the keystone in the family arch. She's very much the homemaker. She's at the very center of the family home. In looking at the role of the wife, we can see clearly that it is one of submission. Much has been said about the wife's role to her husband by way of banter and fun. On the other hand, the role of the wife has been violated and abused. It has been distorted. So on all counts, it's important that we get a sound grasp of what the Scriptures teach on the wife's role in the family, and particularly in relation to her husband. So there are four principal thoughts that we have for you this evening. First of all, the prudence of submission. Look with me at verses 22 and 4. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the words, the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we have two key words here. The word submit and the word subject. And they come from the same word in the original. It's a military term of rank and position within the army. You will know that a soldier is in subjection to his commanding officer who in turn is in subjection to those higher of higher rank than himself. The moment a man joins the armed forces, he is subjecting himself. He is saying, I will obey the command that comes down to me. And no matter what he may think of it, it's his business to be in subjection. Oh, the army would be chaotic if each man had the right to decide what is going to be done next. The regiment would have no capability to fight the enemy. There would be no victory gained. All would be a shambles if there was no submission in the ranks. The first thing a competing football team does is to appoint a captain. Oh, he may not be the most gifted man on the pitch with a football, but the manager reckons that he has the ability to lead, so he gets the armband. And the rest of the team members, they submit themselves to him. Without the captain, chaos would reign. Someone in that team has to have authority. And the Bible teaches that God has set man. He has appointed the husband as the head of the home. In the home, there are ranks, roles, positions for husbands and wives and children. In every society, there must be order. The absence of it results in division and in confusion. Doesn't the Bible say that a house divided against itself cannot stand? So under God, husbands and wives have clearly defined roles. The wife is to be in subjection. The all-wise God has given to the wife her role, to be in submission to her husband. It's part of the divine discipline for the family. This is God's order, and it is to be observed. So we think of the prudence of submission. But then, following quickly on that, we come to the pattern of submission. And the pattern of it is seen in creation. There is emphasis placed on the fact that man was created first. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 to 13, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 11. And verses 8 and 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So we're learning from these portions that the woman in creation was in a subordinate role, dependent on man. Man was not only created first, he was also given authority. Adam, he had the authority to give names to the animals, emphasizing that he was in a position of leadership, of lordship and power. We discover in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 16, after the fall, the role of the woman is clearly defined. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, and unto the woman he said, the Lord said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. After the fall, the role of the woman is clearly defined here. The husband is to have the rule over her. It was Eve's failure to recognize her God-given role that brought about the fall of man. Facing the devil's temptation to eat the forbidden fruit, Eve failed to consult Adam. In Genesis 3 and verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. And verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She did not consult Adam. She dealt with the situation. She took the leadership role and plunged the whole world into sin. So the pattern of submission is seen in creation. The woman having the subordinate role. The pattern is also seen in the church. Here in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. And without question, the church is in submission, is to be in submission to the Lord. He is the great King and only head of the church. It is from the Lord that the church receives its guidance, its marching orders. It discovers the divine will. It's in submission to its living head. There is to be a complete yielding to the Lord. Paul speaks of this yielding in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, in the Christian's life, there is to be this daily yielding, submitting of oneself to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, we know that he said, it's for me to live is Christ. There was that yielding of his life to the Master. And as there is that ready wholehearted yielding to Christ, so verse 24 is indicating, so there is to be this ready submission of the wife to her husband. And then there is the pattern in the conformity of the body to the head. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. There is mention here of the head and the body. The body will not act independently of the head. And there is a picture here of how the wife is to submit to her husband. In the body, the head is in control. The body will submit. It will act in accordance with the head. The body cannot live and function without the head, and vice versa. If my body begins to act contrary to my head, independent of my mind and will, I am suffering from some sort of convulsion. The body and the head, when all is functioning properly, it is complete. There is a wholeness about the operation of everything. And so husband and wives are not separate identities, pulling the one against the other, but working in perfect harmony, just as the body and the head does in its functions. And so we have the pattern of submission. But then we come, thirdly, to the practicalities of this submission. What does it mean to be in submission to your husband? What are the practicalities of it? In verse 22, we learn that wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this does not mean that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands in the same way as they submit themselves to the Lord. The submission of every Christian to the Lord is entire. It is full. It is complete. Christ is the Lord. He is the one whose right it is to reign over our whole being. When Paul introduces his letters to various churches, as example, Romans, in Romans chapter 1, here is how he introduces himself. Romans 1 in verse 1, he writes, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word used for servant, it means bond slave. And this is how Paul views himself as a Christian serving the Lord. He says, I am the Lord's bond slave. Paul knows that he is not his own, that he has been bought with a price, even with the price of the precious blood, the price of love untold. Remember what happened after his conversion on the Damascus Road. What was his prayer? Acts 9 and verse 6. He prayed, Lord. He was in submission. He was recognizing lordship. And he prayed, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And every Christian is to be a bond slave to Jesus Christ. The Christian's relationship to the Savior is one of complete, entire, absolute submission. Mary, in John's Gospel chapter 2, at the miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, Mary said, when the wine ran out and water needed to be gathered to produce more wine, Mary said to those servants in John 2 and verse 5, and here's the rule, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Complete, entire, utter submission. A bond slave of the Lord Jesus. But the wife, listen, husband, your wife is not your slave. She's not your slave. She is not to be ordered around, dictated to, trumped on, treated harshly, without love and affection. Matthew Henry, the wonderful Bible commentator, commenting on the fact that the woman was made out of a rib, out of the side of Adam, he said, and listen carefully, she was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. This submission to your husband, it is an expression of your submission to the Lord. That's what verse 22 is saying. It's part of your submission to the Lord. And you're fulfilling this role in the family willingly because you know it's the Lord's purpose for you. It's part of your discipleship and you do it to the Lord's glory. In any family, there are situations that need to be resolved. Points come when decisions have to be made, and there needs to be discussion, a deliberation, a to-ing and fro-ing by the husband and the wife, so that together the way forward can be determined. And we have a lovely illustration of such a situation in a home in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's the home of the Shunammite. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. And she is a woman. Here is a wife who is worth commendation. In fact, we're going to read that she was a great woman. So there is much that we can say by way of commendation of her. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. There was an open door in this dear woman's home for Elisha. But then in verse 9, she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." And she is a woman of vision. She is a woman of initiative. And it's the wife here that takes the initiative. And she speaks to her husband. And she says to him in verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither." The wife was burdened about Elisha, journeying back and fro, back to and fro, and she was anxious to provide hospitality for the man of God. The Shunammite did not assume her husband's role. She did not take the decision to make the necessary renovations, get the builders in, buy the bed and the table and the stool and the candlestick, and then go and tell her husband, "By the way, I was down there at the shop, and I bought all of these items, and the builder's coming." No, as the wife, she was in subjection and she sought his consent. She recognized his leadership in the home. Oh, he was a bit remiss. It was the wife, let me say it again, who saw the need of Elisha having hospitality. And well done, she took the initiative. But it was with the mutual agreement of them both. She said, let us make a little chamber. Let us do it. The Shunammite knew her position under God. She did not seek to usurp the position given to her husband. And the woman is not to be overlooked by the man. Oh, she is in submission to her husband, but she ought not to be overlooked. We think of when there were problems in Abraham's house over Hagar and Ishmael in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 10. Sarah said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken, listen unto her voice. Abraham was to take note and pay attention to what Sarah was saying. It wasn't just to rubbish what Sarah was saying. And we note the limitation in the wife's submission in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. You're not to be in submission to every man, but only the one who chose you out of all others to be his helpmeet. And in verse 24, we see the extent of this submission. And faces may drop in this meeting now. You're to be in subjection unto your own husbands in everything. But is this a blanket statement? Let us compare Scripture with Scripture. In Romans chapter 13, the word subject, being subject, is found again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. We're thinking here of government. We are to be subject to the government. But are we to be in subject to the government in all things, in the entirety of its laws? Was Daniel MacArthur, the manager of Asher's Bakery, was he duty bound to be subject to the current law regarding the acceptance and the pandering to sodomy? No. When the choice is, do I obey God or men? The decision is clear. It's obvious. And in everything does not mean that the wife has to do literally everything her husband may tell her to do. If the husband is misguided, he may want to have his wife do that which is contrary to God, to godliness, to Scripture. The choice then is obvious. The statement of verse 24 is qualified in that the husband, verse 25, is to be like Christ. And here's the point. The godly husband, the Christ-like husband, will never require his wife to do that which is questionable. As you can obey the Lord and obey your husband, then be in subject to your husband in all things. But lastly, we come to the profitableness of submission. It's truly profitable. We note that these instructions for the family have their context in mirth, in song, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, Christianity, the gospel is a happy experience. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read about the Lord. And in verse 11, we read here about the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And that word blessed, what does it mean? It means happy. So we're thinking about the glorious gospel of the happy God. God is the infinitely holy and the infinitely happy being, and there's no contradiction between the two. And He has given us good laws and right statutes. And when they are put into practice in the marriage, our homes will be a little foretaste of heaven and earth. Obedience to God, walking in His ways, is not misery, it's not drudgery, but delightsome, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, just as we close tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now there's emphasis here on the beauty that God sees in the woman that obeys Him. And this beauty goes beyond the external. It's not the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, the wearing of goodly apparel, it's not that. And we're brought back to the beginning in verse 5, to the old time and the holy women of that age. From the beginning, submission was the mark of the holy women. They obeyed their husbands, verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And here is what the Lord prizes in all of our lives: obedience to His will, living by His word. And look at the profitableness of it all by way of testimony in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the life of the wives. Now we know it's through the word that souls are saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have been begotten by the Word of truth. Souls are born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. There's nothing more powerful next to the Word than a radiant, winsome life. And we're being taught here that the unbelieving husband may be won to Christ by the godly life of his submissive wife. Being in subjection to him, you may win him for Christ. And the wife who keeps rank will be a testimony before the world. Society is showing itself in its true colors, becoming more chaotic by the day. And here is a window of opportunity for you who are Christian wives, mothers in Israel, an opportunity to show the power of the gospel by how you live. May we all fulfill our roles. May we walk in step as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we delight ourselves in him, the happy God, and so will the happiness of our homes and families be. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts tonight. Let us bow together as we close in prayer. Our eternal God, our gracious Father, how we thank thee for the wisdom that flows from the sacred page. We know that we lack wisdom, and we do acknowledge freely in thy presence that we are so erroneous in so often in our ways. Lord, we need continually the wisdom from the book. And we pray that thou wilt help us to walk in its light. Help us tonight to take heed to what we have heard. And we know, Lord, that thou art all wise, and thou dost show us from the Scriptures the right path, the way for our lives, for our roles within the family. And we pray, Lord, that our homes will be altogether different. They will be marked from the chaos that we see all around us among the ungodly. Lord, help us to illustrate that we are thine by the way we conduct ourselves in our marriages and in our families and homes. So we thank thee for thy presence with us this night. And go with us to our homes, abide with us there, and bring us again tomorrow night, looking to hear thy voice. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.